is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller. And today I'm with Stein Nyhash, who's the CEO of Enreach. Stein, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Well, this is really exciting. We're going to be introducing a lot of people to Enreach. A lot of people probably have heard of you guys. You've been around for a little bit. But I have a feeling a lot of people don't really know your whole story and some of the big opportunities that you guys represent for a lot of our readers and listeners. So we're going to dive right into that. Stein, what is Enreach?
Enreach is a company, a group that is based in Europe, headquartered in the Netherlands, active in many European markets, serving small to medium or mid-sized businesses with converged contact solutions, as we like to call it, which is a combination of UC services, so voice, video, and chat communications, combined with contact center communications, mobile communications. We are a mobile operator, a virtual operator in many countries, and often also broadband and productivity included. So we are we provide a complete holistic offering to businesses across Europe. And I think what also differentiates us a lot is that we are quite locally rooted in many different European countries, while we can achieve the scale that is needed also for larger customers.
Let's actually focus on that. So why do I need Enreach? What do you bring to the table that no one else does?
I think quite a lot of things, but a couple of things that make us quite unique. I think it's the fact that we are a supplier that is both a telco, you could say, and a software provider. So we are able to really nicely and neatly integrate the communication software with the network, which means we are a leader if you talk about fixed mobile convergence. So we are able to integrate the mobile network in many different European countries very nicely with our own UC platform, but also with additional platforms, for instance, like Microsoft Teams. And we can combine that into a complete package for our customers. I think that's one aspect of it. And then second, we know the European markets. We have quite experienced teams in many different European markets. Not the teams we have parachuted in there, but teams of organizations we have acquired and added to Enreach over the past few years, who have a long and deep ties to the local community and into the local region. So we have a lot of local knowledge and a lot of local connections, and we can combine that with European scale. So I think that makes us very well suited for customers throughout Europe.
Can you give me an idea of what we're really talking about? When you talk about the European market, what is that?
So we are, as I said, we are headquartered in the Netherlands. So obviously the Netherlands is one of the markets where we are active and quite successful. I would say we are the leading challenger in the Dutch telecom market. Additionally, we are have a large presence in Germany. Through, for instance, an organization that used to be called Swix and has now become part of Enreach. The Danish market, we have a large presence there through one of the members of the group active in the market as IP Nordic, part of Enreach as well. We are large present in the Finnish market, which is a very interesting market, I would say, a mobile-first market, or mobile only, one could even say. The Swedish market, we are active in the Spanish market, in the United Kingdom, and we've just started also in the French market. I think that that covers it right now. Oh no, sorry, I'm forgetting Latvia, which is one of our most recent acquisitions, where we are also active in the market.
You know, Stein, you brought to life, I think, a very important thing for people that may not be familiar with the markets you serve well, and that is, it's, you know, apart from the UK, you know, a lot of people think, well, the EU market must all be one economy.
Yeah, that's sometimes people think that. But then if you, for instance, even if you just look at the current inflation numbers, you will see massive differences between European market. And it already tells you immediately it's really not one economy. It's also not one culture. And very interestingly, it's also not one way people work with their communication solution. I remember already in 2015, we were branching out from the Netherlands into Germany, and we thought, well, it's easy peasy, yeah, right? You have the Netherlands and Germany is similar but larger. Well, it's completely different. In the Netherlands, I can give you a practical example. When people want to reach a company, they call a generic number. And then you get a receptionist or an IVR menu, and you get forwarded to the right colleague. In Germany, everybody has a direct number that you can be reached on, a direct fixed number. So that was already a big learning curve we had, for instance. Then there is boss secretary functions. As an example, in Germany, it's quite normal that only your secretary as a boss can see your presence and the rest of the organization cannot. They have to ask your secretary if you are available, yes or no. While in the Dutch market, everybody in the company can basically see the presence of everybody. That's fine. It makes it more open and efficient. So just two examples between two countries who are directly located next to each other. And that's not even talking about the Finnish market, where we hardly see any fixed phones anymore. Everything is purely on mobile. Even contact center integrations are very much on native GSM integrated as well. The Danish market, which is already also quite different and morphing fast also to a mobile first market. So large differences, I would say, but that's what makes my job exciting and our organization, I think, also exciting, that we are able to get all those different ways of working with telephony, all those different cultures together, and do provide a unified solution with local flavors, allowing for local customizations, and also making sure we hit the right spot immediately for those customers because we know them already. We have local teams who have worked with them for many, many years. So we know what the market in each country needs, and we also know what are the common factors.
So this is really important, I think, that our listeners need to know that while you're headquartered in Amsterdam, you actually have people local in these different national markets.
Yeah, that's correct. We have in total in Enreach currently roughly 1,150 colleagues, of which roughly 300 are located in the Amsterdam region, the greater Amsterdam region, which means the majority is for sure not located in the Netherlands. We have, I would say, I think 150 or 200 people located in Germany. We have roughly 150 people located in Denmark, 150 in the UK, I think 120 in Spain. So we are quite well distributed. We don't just have a couple of a small sales team in each market, and the rest is all handled from the headquarters. We have local support people. We have often also local technicians or even local programmers and R&D people who contribute to the group products but work from the local office. So I would say we were already, and now after the pandemic even more so, we are quite a distributed company. It doesn't really matter to us where someone is located, as long as they can contribute to our purpose and to what we want to achieve as a group. They are welcome, and I think that really helps us because we have not just the salespeople who know the local market. We often also have the developers or the product managers who know a certain local market, which I think is quite powerful.
So you just told us a lot that, you know, that there are significant differences when you go from one country to the next, even where you have a shared currency and some shared economics of culture, of practice, of the technologies in use, wide differences, and that it does sort of matter to have someone actually there, someone who lives there, familiar with the culture, lives it, works it, understands it, and can basically represent your company in a different way than someone sitting remote.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think Europe has a lot of things that it's trying to unify, but there is also a lot of things that are quite different. When you're talking about number portability, getting access to new numbers as a customer, it's a quite different process. In regulations and compliance is also quite different in every single market. So it takes time to get to know this, and this is something that we have a deep investment in, and over the past decades we have been able to reach that status. Also, when you are selling more than just the standard UCaaS offering, when you are selling it combined with CCaaS, which is also so contact center as a service, a very different culturally driven behavior often between agents and people who get called in different markets, also different regulations there again. And then when you start to combine that with the mobile network, you almost have to have a local presence when you want to offer virtual mobile services in that sense. Broadband services, when you add that, you need to be able to show your face at the office to help install it. So doing all of that from an ivory tower somewhere near Amsterdam in Denmark, I think it's impossible. So we are really proud of the local presence we have. We make maximum use of that, I would say, and our customers experience that by us being closer to them and helping them be closer to each other, basically, which is what we're trying to achieve as Enreach.
You know, Stein, you mentioned in passing, I think, something that could be very significant and I bet can be a real obstacle, and that is that apparently, despite a lot of efforts to harmonize economic activity across the EU, you've mentioned that there are regulatory differences. Legal
correct, differences. Yeah, there are regulatory common. There are things that the regulatory markets have in common. Just to be clear, eh? So for instance, GDPR is an example, which is it still has a different accent in many different countries. But we do have one group-wide data protection officer that has local interfaces. But we are able to basically handle that on a global level. But then there are often subtle differences per market. But then if you talk about number portability, it's completely different in every single market. And often it's also different between mobile numbers and fixed numbers. Yeah, I think that's just history. Traditionally, these were the local incumbents that have set up that number porting process. You have some countries in which it is quite well centralized, all automated, and then there's other countries where it's a lot of manual work still that you have to know about. Some countries where you cannot port a number or get a number without showing a utility bill to prove that you are a company from a certain region and are able to get that number. And there's other countries that that don't bother about that and just hand out the numbers. Then there's different number lengths. Huh? You have 14-digit numbers in Germany, 10-digit numbers in the Dutch market. So you have to be able to work with all of that. And I think that's what makes it exciting and interesting, in all honesty, to be able to combine all of that knowledge into one solution and still help the customer and not bother them with these differences. We make that abstraction for them, basically.
Yeah, I think, again, a lot of people looking from outside might misunderstand that there is a high level of complexity if you really want to succeed in the European market. I wanted to turn from some of the cultural and hard issues to some of the technology, because I was intrigued by a couple of things you said at the beginning where you're talking about your company, Enreach, as being a company that provides a telco operation and also software provision.
Yeah, correct. Historically, we have been always a combination of both, which means I myself have a programming background. So that was my original education. I don't touch the code anymore. It's better for everybody. But exciting things happen when you have access to the physical, to the fixed network, but also to the mobile network. And when you are building a UCaaS solution, there are exciting user journeys you can build. For instance, calls that are started up from a native GSM phone, you open up your laptop when you get into the office and you can convert it into a video call without breaking any audio streams, just naturally flowing from one to the next. And this is stuff that's only possible when you have that level of control of the network. It's where we shine as Enreach. It's where we are able to offer added value to small and large customers to a big extent by combining both. And that goes from really small customers as well, where you see sometimes customers with only a couple of employees who don't really have an office, as many people right. don't have at the moment, who are quite mobile, who are driving around the country and then want to basically, they want to show a professional type of presence, while at the same time, they might not always be able to answer the phone. So they need multiple identities, a fixed number, but also their own mobile number and their private number, all to be with them and to be able to manage all of that. And we are able to do that. We can say, hey, you're now on the job. You are now reachable for all of your customers. But when you're on holiday, only your VIP list gets through, also to your cell phone, and all the rest gets diverted to perhaps someone who is a colleague of yours or someone who is taking over during your holiday. So very fine-grained control of your own reachability. And a big part of that is mobile. Many of us are right now on many different video solutions like Teams, like Zoom, or Enreach meetings. Calling in video meetings, and then often calls come in on your mobile phone and you get disrupted or disturbed during such an event. Well, what if the solution could catch those incoming mobile calls, show or tell the person calling you that you are actually in a meeting and they can leave a voicemail automatically? And that's the type of stuff you can create when you start integrating all those different ways of communication. And that's, for us, I think, where Enreach is really good at and where there's a lot of exciting value we can bring to customers.
Now, all this put together has made you one of the fastest growing companies in Europe.
Yeah, correct. We are very proud of that, of course. It's one measure of success. We have grown organically very steeply over the past 15 years already, won quite a few awards, which we're quite proud of. Recently, we have also been on the acquisitions path, adding and bringing to the group what we call the champions of Europe. So the key shining stars in their local markets who have been able to bring the cloud PBX and UCaaS to that local market that are cautiously looking over the border of their countries. And that's where we come as Enreach and we say, hey, why don't you join our group? And all of that combined has made us quite a large company already. but we try to still, while we are large and we have a good economy of scale, we really want to emphasize our local roots. And also, we don't want to seem to either our customers or to our employees like too large of an organization and too large of a company. And we even take that quite far since we are organized as a holacracy, which means we have a self-organization system implemented, which means our organization chart is automatically by our staff, by our colleagues, slightly changed every day to make sure it conforms with the latest state of reality. So we are growing fast, we are adding a lot of colleagues, adding a lot of countries, and we have quite a fluid organization chart that is really driven bottom up. And it enables us to respond fast to the market and stay close to that customer without trying to over centralize everything and steer it from a headquarters.
You know, I've been really struck with that in just even working with you guys in the last couple of days who put together our podcast today, that there's very easy access to senior people and that it's not, you don't feel, as a larger company and a growing company, you don't feel very hierarchical.
No, that's very good to hear, because that's not what we want to be either. I think, well, I can fill another podcast with this, but I think the hierarchical way of steering a company and leadership, it doesn't fit our culture. We have quite an open and transparent culture, and it also doesn't fit the new generation of employees who, let's be honest, especially talent, they have many, many different options, can choose where to work for all across the world, basically, at the moment. Many bosses don't care anymore if they come into the office, yes or no. And yes, salary and money is important, and it could be a disqualifier if you are not at the right level. But what we find is it's often also about, hey, what type of company am I working for? What's there? How can I influence it? And they don't want to hear, yeah, come here, join our group, work really hard for 10 or 20 years, and then you can make an impact. No, these new next generation of employees has good ideas and wants to make an impact much faster than that. And our way of organizing allows for them to do it. And if that means they tell me I'm doing the wrong things and have a better proposal, I'm not going to stand in the way of that. We at Enreach, we basically say yes to every proposal our colleagues have, unless it causes harm, irreparable harm to the organization. So we ask often, is it safe enough to try? And if it is, we go with it, basically. And that, I think, it frees up a lot of creativity in the organization.
You know, it's always a challenge. You know, you've been mentioning growth and acquisition and so on. How are you retaining your brand with all that? It's really hard to do that.
Well, actually, our brand originated 3 years ago. So I am originally one of the co-founders of a company called VoiceWorks in the Netherlands. And as we were expanding throughout Europe, as we were combining with companies across Europe, we said we need a new name. And this is how Enreach came into existence. I think it was, in 2019, in the middle of 2019 or at the end of 2018, we came with that brand. And it's an umbrella brand, which you are seeing more and more now in each of those local markets. And the funny thing is, when you start as quite a small company like we did originally 15 years ago with four people, you see that as a, you are supplying often through resellers your services, and people say, well, God forbid anyone finds out this little company is behind my services, so let's hide that as well as possible. That has really shifted to a lot of our resellers. I'm talking mainly about the indirect channel now. A lot of our resellers are saying, hey, you know, it's great that you guys are so big, but we want to be able to use your brand as well towards our end customers to make sure our end customers are realizing there's a strong partner standing behind us when we offer that solution to our customers. So I think that's also a reason our brand has become increasingly important. And it's also, I think, when we, of course, communicate in the right way about the brand and what it stands for, as we're trying to do today as well, it can be an attraction for employees, for customers, if we do that right. I think there's a couple of key things that distinguish Enreach. I think it's the openness that we have, the way we organize, the convergence of the different ways of communication we bring to the table, the European roots and the skill that we bring. And we hope eventually everybody who hears Enreach will recognize that. And if they then, as a customer or as an employee, they hear something they like, that they know where to find us. I think that's one of the key goals we have for 2022.
And you're able to do all that and keep your brand identity while integrating all these new companies.
Yeah, that's by being really strict at the front gate, I would say. So we are buying companies not often with more than 100 employees, so relatively small companies. And we have in Holland a saying, the vent is the tent. It means the guy is the company. When you have a company of less than 100 people or roughly that size, the guy sitting in front of you that is selling his or her company or is a good representative of the company culture often. So if you don't have a click with that person, even if they would leave afterwards, for us that's a clear red flag. We spend a lot of time on cultural fit, culture, and checking that cultural fit before we move forward with an acquisition, and often also have abandoned acquisitions because we didn't see that cultural fit. Because we are quite open when we approach companies or companies approach us to join Enreach about what we stand for, what is important for us, and we don't want to make too many sacrifices in that or too many compromises. So for that reason, we say we check very well at the front gate, I would say, before we add new members to the group. And the interesting thing is when you look at these most successful companies throughout Europe, those local challengers, they have so much in common with us, it's almost scary. And that's because we all went through something similar in each of our local markets. So already naturally the culture was quite close together already.
You know, Stein, I have to tell you, and I think you know this, in our industry, how many times, how many different companies over the years, 1 + 1 = 1. They'll combine two companies and end up with somehow the same or even smaller than they began.
Yeah, I always like to say 1 + 1 = 11 if you look at it differently. So I think from that perspective, I think we are quite proud that we have a proven track record of making 1 and 1, I would say at least 2.5 to 3, not just from a revenue perspective. We have kept organic growth in each of our acquisitions and our own organic growth. And on top of that, we realize synergies on the cost side, which is important for efficiency to make sure we stay competitive. But even more interestingly, on the top line side, on the revenue side, we are able to bring new products to new markets after doing these acquisitions. One concrete example, we bought a company called Masbos in Spain, which is also moving, is now called part of Enreach and will move to the Enreach brand. Masbos was a CCaaS and UCaaS company. The CCaaS solution we have kept, we have made part of the group product portfolio, and that team is now expanding to different geographies with that solution and our help and our channels. And their UCaaS solution, we have basically replaced with the Enreach Contact UCaaS solution in that geography. And now very recently, we have even been able to add mobile to the portfolio, also with the help of an additional acquisition. So that shows we have basically not just transformed that local organization in Spain and made it more successful with an expanded and improved product portfolio, but vice versa, that organization has improved the group. And that's ideally what we see. Every acquisition should bring something to the table and get something off the table. And that's not related to money. Of course, that plays a role when you do an acquisition. But it's also about, hey, if you have nothing to bring to the group, then typically that's going to be a more difficult acquisition. But very often we find that each and every organization we bring to the group has something to offer and is very excited about bringing that to the group. And we've shown that is possible also.
What's ahead for Enreach in, what's ahead for Enreach in 2022?
Yeah, so we are, of course, right in the middle of 2022 already, so I can almost start looking back already, what have we already achieved in 2022. But in general, we have launched now in a couple of markets our new unified portfolio, which is called Enreach Contact Suite, and we will bring that to most of our markets during the course of 2022. We spent the past 3 years building a next-generation platform that will allow us to be present in all these different geographies based on the acquisitions we have done. We have created a new reference architecture and a new product portfolio, and that's what we are launching in 2022. I think that's one of the most important things that that we want to achieve in 2022. Then additionally, it's all about making sure that we bring those new services that we are that we have, for instance, from Spain into the new markets, into different markets that we have in our group. So we are working together with the organization in the Nordics on opportunities for CCaaS in the Netherlands, for instance. And we're spending a lot of time and energy on that, not for the short term, but really for the long term. So we will have some success with that in 2022. But most of that, the foundation of the success in 2023, we are also spending a lot of time on. So it's not just short term. We are in this for the long term, and we believe in that long term added value. So if I'd had to summarize it, 2022 for me is about realizing the promise of that unified portfolio, bringing that to all these different geographies. And while we're doing that, we are, of course, very interested to see, can we further grow and expand to new geographies? And that would be great if that's possible. But it's already we are already present in quite a few markets. And it's quite important that we now move towards that one Enreach brand, that one Enreach portfolio in as many markets as possible.
Stein, how does that fit in, that vision that you have for your own company, fit in to what you see coming down the pike for the whole UCaaS community, the UCaaS market, and really the whole world of communications?
Yeah, so I think in general, there's a lot of different market forces at work at the moment. I think key driver, of course, is due to the pandemic, also lagging markets like Germany are embracing cloud-based solutions and recurring-based revenue models. So in Germany, we still have a large base of users that was once sold an on-premise one-off solution, and we see now massive uptake towards recurring products, even in the German market, which is one, I would argue, one of the lagging markets in Europe. Additionally, what we saw happening in the Finnish market, so a move towards almost only people using their mobile phone and no longer fixed phones. We see that now happening also slowly going down towards the more central and southern European countries. We see it happening in Denmark. We see it happening more and more in the Netherlands, where our mobile growth is rapidly accelerating combined with unified communications. And then, of course, additionally, a large part of the unification we are offering is also bringing the UC and the contact center world together. We see that there is more and more companies who could really use a CCaaS solution, but are not, either through size or profiling, not the typical type of customer that would go to a large cloud contact center vendor. They say, well, we want to have a solution to unify our employees, and in there should also be a contact center profile that we can add to certain employees, because some employees might not be full-time contact center agents. They might be part-time contact center agents. They might only for a day become a contact center agent because it's needed that they help because there's some people quarantining in the contact center. So that flexibility, that role-based assignment of new functionalities on top of UC, so that's basically bringing UCaaS and CCaaS together, I think that's a trend. It's something that we see happening in our market, and I think it's a huge opportunity. There's a lot of companies, as we say it, that could use a contact center solution, but have never considered buying it because they're just smaller or they have only a couple of people working full time on the phones. And we are seeing a lot of traction in that market by offering a bridging solution that is going to offer some lightweight functionality on top of the standard cloud PBX user. And I think that's something that yeah, that's very exciting because it increases also not just the revenue, the RPU per user for us and our resellers, but also adds the stickiness and the value proposition we have for the end customer. It makes them less likely to churn because they get an increasingly added value type of service from us, not just barebone cloud PBX. So yeah. And there are many more developments we see in the market, I think, but those would be the key ones for 2022.
You know, Stein, as we wrap up our podcast today, you know, one thing I keep on hearing again and again is the bringing together of things to create a very relevant and appealing mix. That if you want to talk to customers right now, you just can't talk to them as if mobility and UC are different things. Or that, you know, the software you use and the provision that you use are different things. Everything just has to be come together and be offered in one appealing way.
Yeah, I think that's of course, first of all, driven by end customer behavior. And probably we're not talking about the largest multinational end customers who have large procurement and IT departments who can source every single little ingredient themselves. We are talking more about the small and mid-sized companies throughout Europe. And probably this is a trend you see worldwide, who say, look, it's becoming increasingly complex. We have now UC, we have mobile coming in here, we have also video conferencing, we have contact center solutions coming in, we have even broadband solutions, CRM integration, integration with Teams, integration with Salesforce, all of that has to work together. And what we see the end customer saying is we want one throat to choke, basically. We want one supplier that will solve it for us and also we can talk to when something is not working. And that end customer behavior very often translates into also the partners and resellers saying, hey, we're not looking for, even a larger reseller is not looking for 10 different suppliers that he or she needs to tie together. They're looking for a supplier that's already done the nitty-gritty tying together of all those different ingredients for them, while still empowering them to add a lot of additional value on top of that. And that's, I think, where Enreach shines. And we do see that as a big trend in the market. We see it happening in various different markets in Europe. And that's also the cool thing about being in all these markets. You recognize developments in one market in another market. So you see, hey, what's happening now in Germany, we saw in the Netherlands 3 years ago, or what's happening now in Denmark, we saw in Finland 3 years ago. Not like every market is moving towards the same state, but there's a lot of learnings to be gotten from those markets that you can apply to other markets and stay one step ahead of the competition there. And I think that's this is one of the examples, this coming together of the different solutions. We don't see it in every market yet, but it is our firm belief it will happen in every European market.
And it sounds like when you partner with Enreach, you're leveraging those lessons.
You are, yes, indeed. And of course, it depends a bit on your customer or reseller profile. If you're a customer or a reseller that is active in a single market, you could say, well, what use is it that Enreach is also in different countries? To which I would answer, well, if you are a customer or a reseller of us in the Dutch market, we have a lot of learnings from the Danish and the Finnish markets that we can use in the Dutch market. And just to give you two examples, we are very successful growing fast in the Danish market, which is hyper competitive with extreme price pressure. You pay not a lot of money there for a lot of minutes and mobile data and everything included. We charge a bit more than that, and we are able to win customers and keep customers and get customers even back when they leave us, because we are offering excellent customer service in the Danish market. So that is a learning that we are trying to transfer also to the Dutch market and even to our resellers, and saying this customer intimacy, that it has to be really firmly rooted in your DNA. I think many larger competitors are just going to be bad at that, not just temporarily, but I don't want to be too negative for them, but it seems like no matter what they try, they're always going to slip up in some cases. So if us and our resellers recognize that, that is a learning we can apply, and we can say, look, the solution is important, but also the whole service that you supply around that. And then we can learn a lot from our Nordic colleagues. And I already gave you the example of mobile only and mobile first, which we see already strongly happening in the Dutch market. But now we are seeing it in the Finnish market, even extending towards contact center agents. And that is something relatively new for the Dutch market. And we are seeing now the first joint deals we are going to do with the Nordic team for Dutch contact center customers that are saying, hey, actually, for me, it would also be valuable, especially because of the pandemic, if my home workers can integrate with the CCaaS solution with their mobile phone and they don't have to have even a laptop open. They can just do it on the fly. And that's something that that's another example of where we can apply that learning, and our local resellers and our local end customers can be profiting from that.
Well, Stan, I really want to thank you for joining me today. This has been very interesting. This has been a good first step to introducing our readers and listeners to the possibilities of partnership with EnReach and all the different things you guys bring to the table. There's a lot to this story. I know we're going to be doing another podcast soon about some of the products and developments that you're talking about. But for now, I want to thank you. Where can we learn more about EnReach?
Well, of course, on our website, enreach.com, but also follow us on LinkedIn, on Twitter. We have even Instagram, I think also, but that's probably less relevant from a product perspective. So many different ways to reach us. I'm sure we can put a link in the podcast, or just contact me, and I'm happy to direct you. But feel free to put my contact details under the podcast. Look forward to talking to anyone who was listening and has any further questions. And thanks, Doug, for having us. And I'm very excited to be able to speak about EnReach here today, and I hope we can do it another time again.
Looking forward to the next one, but for now, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.